I want to take a few moments today to just talk a little bit about baptism and what it means. It's something that we can easily kind of go through the motions and not understand everything that we're doing. And so I think it's always good as we observe this together and see what God has done in people's lives that we understand why they're doing this. This isn't just getting wet at church. There's spiritual significance to this, and this is something that Christ has commanded us. So with that, there's three questions that I like to go over when we think about baptism. First, what is baptism? It is, first and foremost, it is the immersion of a believer in Jesus in water, and is properly called believer's baptism. Right? So there's reasons for this. First, that's what the word means. Actually, what we have in our Bibles is a transliterated word. Basically, they took the Greek letters, turned them into English letters, and pulled it over into our Bible. If they had actually translated the word, it would have been to immerse, because it's coming from the dyeing industry where they would dip or plunge cloth underwater and so that it takes on that new color, right? Now, the reason they didn't, because there was already controversy at that time because of all the different denominations and different viewpoints, that they just said, you know what, we're just going to not deal with that right now. And so we're still having to deal with this, you know, 1,000 years later, almost. So, but ultimately, church history, my wife and I have been in some of those places, like in Petra, where some of the first baptism, you know, the early churches, and they were for adults, right? They didn't necessarily go backwards. They went down, up and down, but it was definitely for adults, and this is the prevailing practice. You also see that the picture of it in Romans 6, we're buried in baptism. The only thing that really represents that well is the picture of being immersed. And Jesus did this as well, right? He was baptized with much water. You see his example, right? So there's those reasons that matches the death, burial, resurrection, new life of Jesus, and the pattern. When you go through the book of Acts, people are saved, then they're baptized. And there's, you know, what's hinder me? There's lots of water here. The Ethiopian eunuch with Philip, the early church. On the day of Pentecost, my wife and I have seen some of the mikvahs, the places where they would go down. The Jews would ritually cleanse themselves, but that would have provided plenty of places for the first disciples to baptize 3,000 people on the day of Pentecost. There was plenty of water available. And then you continue on through the book of Acts and you see that pattern there. So that's the first question. Second question, what does baptism picture? It vividly portrays how when we trust in Jesus' death and resurrection for our sins, we die with Christ to our sins and are given new life to Him, to live for Him in righteousness. So what is this showing? It's showing the gospel, right? That Jesus died and rose again. So it's a vivid picture of that. You're seeing it play out. And that's why the Bible describes it that way. And when we die with Christ, it's not that we are buried and stay in there, thankfully, right? Because we don't lead people under the water. Contrary to what some people try to tell you, I had one lady that was always like, you held me under water. I'm like, no, I didn't. It just feels like that sometimes, right? But it really is over so quickly. Because the goal, the idea is that you'd be raised to new life, right? And then the walking up out of there, that you walk now in newness of life. That's the picture, to show that. And sometimes we haven't stressed that enough. We stress how we've died and been raised, but not living the new life. Someone who is truly identifying with Jesus Christ isn't just they're cleansed from their sin, but now if they're going to be completely like Christ, they're going to be living entirely new. We're a new creation, as 2 Corinthians 5 tells us. So this is where, you know, we should be choosing to do the right thing, as Romans 6 goes on to say, after talking about how the picture of baptism, it challenges us that we shouldn't stay in our old, go back to the old sin, but now choose to render our bodies as instruments of righteousness, as the rest of that passage tells us. Because we have died, crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me, right? That's the picture. And then, so we see the gospel, Romans 6, and then the third question, why do we baptize? Well, we don't get baptized to save us from our sin, right? This does not contribute to our salvation in any way. We need to be clear on that. Scripture is clear. But, and we see example of that in the thief of the cross, right? He didn't get down off the cross to get baptized after he was saved. Jesus says to him, today you'll be with me in paradise, right? So we have an example, someone who wasn't baptized and still went to heaven. So baptism doesn't earn your salvation. It does not make it so you can go to heaven. All right, we have examples of that. But it is in order to obey Christ's command, first and foremost. Matthew 28:19 says, after go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And there's a command since that. It's dependent on the main command of making disciples, but it is a command sense. So if it's something we are commanded to do, that can't be spirit baptism, which is something that happens to all of us. 1 Corinthians 12:13 says, by one spirit, you're all baptized into one body, right? So that's something all Christians are baptized, spirit baptized. We don't have to seek that. But this we have to do. So it has to be something different. This is where we say this is water baptism. So we need to obey Christ's command. And it is to declare then, secondly, publicly our faith in Christ. As Matthew 10 talks about there, that we would be willing to identify with him. That we would not, you know, to take up our cross and willing to show we're one of Christ's. Because if we're not willing to do that, then we can't be one of his disciples, right? A disciple is someone who is going to be willing to identify with him. And then lastly, to join the local church, which is his local manifestation of his body. This is where you would be willing to identify with his people. So if you're willing to identify with Christ, you should also be willing to identify with his people. That's why we don't baptize people that aren't joining the local church, because that's the other aspect to this. And you see this pattern play out in the book of Acts, right? People are saved, baptized, and then what? Added to the church, right? So you see the pattern there. And why? What do you do in the church? That's where you serve. That's where you use your spiritual gift. And if we're commanded to use our gift or gifts, depending on what God's given, then how can you do that except for with other believers, right? This is where Hebrews 10 makes clear that, you know, it says, let us stir up one another to love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves is as the manner is, and even talks about some who, as the day is approaching, have stopped doing that, right? They see the persecution coming and they stop going to church because that invites persecution. We need to be willing to identify, even if it costs us, with other believers. And Ephesians 4 talks about how we're, you know, to do the work of the ministry, which is the building up of the body of Christ, right? Helping people to know Christ and follow him, speaking the truth in love to one another. How can you do that unless you're together? So these are all reasons. It says every part does its share, causes the growth of the body. So everyone has this responsibility. Even as young people, there are things that there are roles to be playing here in the church and in other people's lives. We had a testimony earlier this year as someone shared how they were convicted of their need of baptism because of young people and said, you know what? If they can do that, I should be willing to do that as an adult. Right? So don't discount your testimony of how God can use you in the life of other believers. And we need to use these gifts. If Romans 12, we're to render our bodies as instruments daily, what's the next verses that go on? It talks about using your gifts. And you may not be the head. Definitely not the head. That's Christ. You may not be you not be the eye or another, you know, visible part, Just don't be the armpit, okay? You know, we don't need lots of those. I mean, President Tillerson always jokes about that. You know, people that think their spiritual gifting is the armpit, they stink, right? You know, no, we want to, whether it's the feet or the hands or whatever role you have, know that God has gifted you particularly for that. And if you're not a part of the church, you can't use that in the way that God has called you to. So this is why we need to be willing to do what God has called to do and join together in that. So with that said, just some questions for you as you reflect on what we just talked about. Number one, don't realize that baptism doesn't save you. It's only faith in Christ that will. Be clear on that. Number two, have you trusted in Jesus Christ alone to rescue you from your sin and its consequences of eternal life? Because that may be where you're at today. You're here and you haven't really made that decision to trust in Jesus Christ. And you're still wrestling with that. You need to admit you're a sinner and confess, call on the Lord to save you, and He will. Romans 10:9 and 10 says, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you'll be saved. No more, no less. That's it. That's where you need to start if you've never done that. Then if you have done that, then have you taken the next step? And that's the step of baptism. We call it a step of obedience because it's a command. And if it's a command, James 4:17 says, to him who knows to do good and doesn't do it, it's sin. That's kind of sobering, right? If you're not doing what you know God's called you to do, then you're living in sin. And you cannot expect God to bless in your life if you're not willing to follow Him. And this is what God is saying. You have to be willing to publicly tell others what has happened in your life. Then if you have done that, then I would encourage you to think and thank God for what He has done in your life. And then purpose to continue to show your changed life. To stand with these young girls today and say, God did this in my life and I want to see you grow and encourage each other in this. That's part of the purpose of this, that we would help each other grow to be like Jesus Christ. I have some more to say about some of the things here, but I wanted to just take the time to make sure we understand what we're doing as we baptize these girls here today. So, with that said, I'm going to invite them to come, Kirsten and Allie, to come on up. And if you'd stand in front of this mic and share your testimony with us, that would be great.
After God gave me that assurance that I was saved, I want to get baptized because I know the Bible says that after you are saved, you should get baptized. Church. And the more I learned, the more my doubts cleared up. And then my day finally came. God called on me, and I became God's safe child. Since then, my life changed. I had more hope and became more grateful. But I think the biggest change is that I know I am on His right path. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me and giving me more hope and happiness than I could ever imagine.
Amen. All right, girls, you can go get changed. So just here in a second, we're going to be singing. Craig's going to come and lead you in singing, Thou Dost Leave Thy Throne. So it'll be 127 and the red hymnal. But I hope you're just, as you hear these testimonies, just encouraged at what God has done. And I'll talk more about this later, but they've overcome some fears and doubts. And we just rejoice with that.
And it'll be on the screen. Thou didst leave thy throne and thy kingly crown when thou camest to earth for me. But in Bethlehem's home there was found no room for that holy inheritance. Oh, come to my heart, Lord Jesus, there is room in my heart for thee.
Kirsten, I just have one question for you. Do you believe that Jesus died for your sins and rose again?
Yes.
All right. Then, based on your testimony you heard, and I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, buried in the likeness of death, raised in the likeness of his resurrection, walk now in newness of life. Okay, just have one question for you. Do you believe that Jesus died for you and rose again?
Yes.
All right. Then, based on the testimony you heard, I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Buried in the likeness of death, raised in the likeness of his resurrection. Walk now in newness of life. I want to take just a few moments to share with you from a few verses from 1 John. As you heard the testimonies of these girls here today, I hope you notice just the theme of kind of struggling through, like, am I really saved or not? And I can identify that. As a preteen, I really struggled with, am I really saved? And God used his word in my life to challenge me to realize that I wasn't really growing in the Lord. In fact, 2 Peter 1, 5 through 11 are verses that I realized I needed to add to my faith, virtue, knowledge, and all those things, that big long list there, and that helped me to come to the point where I could believe what God's word has said. Because it says if you don't get busy growing in the Lord, then you'll forget that you're saved even in blindness. Is one of these mics on? All right, there we go. Make it a little easier on you guys. But as I was thinking about the girls' testimonies here today, there's another passage that comes to my mind. It's 1 John 3, 19 through 21. It says, and this we know, that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God. There are times when our heart causes us to doubt things, right? And even to doubt our own salvation. And these verses, I think, give us a roadmap for overcoming the fears in our lives. It's kind of like, how many of you are afraid of heights? Right? There's a few of us, right? I used to be really afraid of heights, and I've learned to manage that, right? That you have this healthy respect, but I can get up in places and do that. Number one, I saw my dad do it. He was really kind of crazy. He'd be like, we had these pump jacks, if anybody know what those are. And then he would just, like, this was before aluminum planking and all that, and we just have like these 2x12s thrown together across those, and they'd go whoop whoop, you know, and you walk across them, and he just, you know, or walk a ridge line or whatever without any of the ill effects that Anna Green Gables experienced. And this is as one who almost fell. One of his first jobs was working on their high school, and he was up in the tightening the bolts for the metal beams, and he was like, I don't even think he was 150 pounds as a high schooler or just graduated. And he had to put his whole weight on the wrench or the ratchet, and the socket broke. And he almost fell. And he came down, and the foreman gave him a little time and says, "You need to get back up there, or otherwise you'll never go back up." And he went back up. You know, I saw my dad do it. I learned then. I also learned safety. I mean, there's a place for things when you're up high, right? I have invested money in tools that will keep you safe up high. I have an aluminum plank that's 20 feet long. I haven't had to use it yet, but I'm going to use it, and it's going to make it way safer than what I was using before. I have safety harnesses, and I have, you know, things that protect you when you're way up. And, you know, thankful for those. You have good gear, right? So there's ways to overcome that fear. But how much more a fear of whether I've lost my salvation or am I really truly saved? In this passage, God helps us to overcome our fears. Number one, we realize we can be sure of our salvation, as verse 19 says. This we know, that we are of the truth. What does it mean to be of the truth? That means you're saved. And shall assure our hearts before him. So we're talking about assurance of salvation. Now the context, the previous verses, it's when you love indeed, you really love, you don't just say you love others, you do it. And you are willing to share of your goods, this world's goods, and not shut up your heart. Because an unbeliever is selfish. They only do things that benefit them. But a believer in Jesus Christ is willing to give of things that will cost him, because they're being like Jesus, who is the ultimate example, gave himself for us, right? And God the Father loved us so much he sent his Son to die for us, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life, right? I mean, that's the gospel. And we can have assurance of our salvation because we are living it out. We're doing it. It's not just up here, but we're actually doing it in our lives. So that's the first reason we can be sure of our salvation. And secondly, realize God is greater than our doubts. Verse 20, for if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Now, your heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, as the Bible says in Jeremiah 17:9, right? And it says, who can know it? Well, the very next verse says, God is the one who can know it. He searches the heart. He knows the heart. So God alone knows if you're really believing in him or not, right? And we can have confidence that God knows even when we are tempted to doubt. And there's a number of reasons, like I talked about in my salvation testimony. We're tempted to doubt because we're not growing, or we have sin in our life that we haven't confessed. We haven't broken the relationship with God, but we have sin that's coming between us and our Heavenly Father. Just like if you know, your dad told you to mow the lawn, or mom said, you know, clean your room while they were gone, and they come home and you haven't done that. Where are you? You're going to pull an Adam and Eve, right? Son, daughter, where are you? Right? Because you don't want to be in their presence because you know you have something between you. Now, are you still their son or daughter? Yeah. You can't break that relationship. Right? Our sin doesn't break our relationship with the Father as believers. But it does come between us. It can hurt our fellowship with him. And that's often what's going on, is our heart is condemning us because we have sin in our heart and we know we need to confess it and make it right. But God says, you're still one of mine. And he still affirms that relationship. He knows all things. So it's, you know, he is greater than our doubts. Kind of like this. If you have this little tiny chihuahua that's like barking its head off and it looks like it's going to take a bite out of you, how do you feel about that? You could be scared, but like comparison you to this little tiny chihuahua, I mean, you shouldn't be. I mean, the most he's going to do is maybe put a little pin marks. Probably not going to make it through your clothes, but you have to say, you know what, I am bigger than this, and this dog really can't hurt me. Okay? I have this theory about little dogs, is they have this, you know, inferiority complex, and that the smaller they are, the snappier they are. And anyway, I digress. Right? God is so much bigger than our doubts and our fears. We need to believe that and trust that. And then lastly, realize we can have confidence in our heart. Verse 21. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God. We can, in our hearts, have confidence. In fact, the next verse is going to want to talk about how we can have so much confidence that we can ask God and know that He will answer us. It says, whatever we ask, we receive from Him because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. Now, we can have confidence because we know we're doing right. We know we're walking in fellowship with Him. And so when we ask God for things, you know, Scripture says that if we're, you know, delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. Right? What is that? That's saying when we have God's priorities, we have God's desires and wants, He will delight to give us what we want because it's what He wants. And He will not withhold good gifts from His children. As Matthew 5, 7 says, right? Ask, seek, knock. I mean, He may delay it. He may make you, wait. But He will give good gifts. I mean, your earthly father does that. He doesn't give you a snake when you ask for, food or stones when you ask for bread. Right? He gives you what you need. You have a decent earthly father. But our heavenly Father, who gives good gifts, He knows exactly what we need and when we need it. And so we can have confidence even in prayer. Not only that, what's His command? We're doing the things that He commands. Verse 23 says, this is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He gave His commandment. So His command is to believe and to love each other, right? That's what we should be doing. And when we're doing that, that's when we can have confidence, right? This is how you can overcome the fears that God is saying. We can have assurance to know we are saved or not when we're doing what He says. So do you have confidence of your salvation from sin? If not, I'd love to talk to you more today because from God's Word, we can know and we can have assurance. And I'm so thankful to hear the testimonies of these two girls today that testify of God giving them assurance. And they had the giving them the boldness then to stand up here and tell you. That's a work of God. And this needs to be each one of us. That we can have the assurance from God and His Word. So I'd love to talk to you more if you have questions about that. All right. If we could have the girls come up. I have something for you. And then if I could also get Jason and Ken up here as well. So, all right. All right, this is your baptism certificate. Here, come on up here. So Kirsten Hartwig, there's your baptismal certificate. And there's, go with that. And then Allie, or Alessandra, I love that. There's your baptismal certificate, okay? And we're going to have these two guys pray. This is your grandpa. And this is Jason Carpenter, who's had a role in your life, right, as your teacher and shared things with you. So they're going to pray for the candidates here today.
Father, thank You. Thank You for this time. We look, and so much about this service has been of what Christ, what You did on the cross. Father, thank You for sending Your Son. We pray for Kirsten. Father, help her. Help her. Help us as a church that we may encourage her in You. Help her as she serves You and as she grows in serving others and as she grows in You and grows in knowledge of her of the Word, we pray You would bless her and strengthen her in You, and the focus would be there. Help us again as a church, as a congregation, as fellow believers, that we might encourage her in living for Christ. And we thank You in Christ's name. Amen.
Heavenly Father, thank You for these young ladies. Thank You for Kirsten. And thank You for Miss Allie. And thank You for bringing her to this church and getting to know her in class. But Lord, we want to thank You for Your faithfulness to them in drawing them to You and giving them the free gift of salvation. Thank you for the work you have done in their lives in clearing up the doubts that they had, showing yourself real to them, and saving them. Thank you for giving them the courage to give their testimonies this morning. We pray for them that you would bless them as they grow. Help them to fall in love with your word, to spend time with you. We pray that you would keep their lives pure as you bring them closer to yourself. We look forward to what you have planned for them. Would you give them the ability to be faithful and remain faithful to you as they continue to walk? Thank you for their testimony this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you guys for sharing and just the role that you've played in their lives as well. And as they prayed, to recognize our role is not done. We have continued relationship and to hold them accountable and then them to minister in our lives. So just encourage you as we would be praying for them in the days ahead. Because whenever you decide to follow Christ, that's when Satan starts to attack you more, right? And the roadblocks become harder. But with that too, this is an invitation. If you are here and you have not trusted in Jesus Christ, or you know you need to be baptized, or you know you need to join the church, we would invite you to join us, and I'd love to talk to you more about that. So, all right. Yes, I need to call a brief business meeting for the purpose of voting on these two young ladies as members. It is the recommendation of the pastor and deacons that we would welcome them into the membership. Do we have a motion? Who would like to make it? All right, Amy makes the motion. Second for that? Oh, Carrie beat you two in the back. So, all in favor of having Kirsten and Allie join us here at Calvary Baptist Church, say aye. Opposed, same sign. Motion carries. You're in. All right. Welcome aboard. Thank you. All right. Yes. Praise the Lord.